You continue in prayer with me. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, of sharing your light, celebrating your light and your love. And as we gather this morning, we pray that you would help us, move among us, grant us the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we might let your light, our light, shine for all the world to see. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So some of you have seen the Salem app. We have this app where you can get information, and you get a weekly devotional that I write. And if you don't, I'd encourage you to sign on for the Salem app, or you can get the devotional by going to our website. But if you read it this week, you read a story about a time when I'd graduated from high school. I went out to Colorado to work at a camp, and it was like a fantastic summer. I love Colorado. It's just so beautiful up there in the mountains. And I was working at a family camp, so there were all ages coming together. And this one week, we had gone to bed. There was a certain curfew for those of us on work crew. We got together, prayed, and then got into bed, and the lights out. And about 10 minutes after going to bed, the lights went back on, and our work crew director said, "Everybody up, get your clothes on, come on out to the parking lot." So we got up, put on our clothes, ran out to the parking lot, and he let us know that this young boy named Gus, who had Down syndrome, had wandered off, couldn't be found. And so we were organized into teams so that we could go out and search by grids, you know, going this way, so every square foot of the mountainside would get covered. And as we went, we'd be yelling out, "Gus, Gus," and we'd be shining our flashlights, searching for him. All night long, we were out there searching, and we couldn't find him. Next morning, came back to that parking lot at the center of the camp. And at this time, the county sheriff was there and all these police officers, people from the town, ranchers from the surrounding territory. And people were being organized into bigger teams to go further out away from the camp. We were told to go to bed, but Gus was missing. I'd gotten to know him, really enjoyed spending some time with him. And I'm asked my director, "Can I just stay out for a while longer, go search?" And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And so all day long, I'm out there walking the mountainside through the forest with others, calling out, "Gus, Gus." And I was praying to God, "Lord, please, Gus is precious to us. Help us to find him. Help me to find him." Well, the nighttime came, the sun was going down. I went back up to get into my cabin, finally go to sleep. And as I went to bed, I could hear the thump, thump, thump of the National Guard helicopter that was combing the mountainside. The search was going on. In the morning, I got up, and we were trying to get the camp back to some sense of normalcy. We had some horseback riders go out, led by this wrangler, and I got into a Jeep and went out to a remote field to prepare breakfast for them. And I was out there at the field building a little fire and getting the ingredients for the breakfast ready, and I looked up across the field, and there was this lone figure. It was Gus. I yelled, "Gus! Gus!" And I started to run toward him, but I didn't want to scare him off. I was afraid he'd turn around and run back into the woods, so I walk and run, walk, kind of, "Gus, Gus, Gus, Gus," got to him. I said, "Gus, it's so good to see you. Come on, come with me." I don't think he really understood what was going on entirely. He didn't realize how scared we were for him, how lost he had been. I brought him back to the campfire, and just then the horseback riders came in, and the chief wrangler picked him up and put him on the back of his horse and rode off into the sunrise, you know, up to camp. It was one of those pictures. You're like, wow, that's... But it was one of those pictures. I mean, this is the kind of thing you live for, is to see one who's wandered off, who's not a part of the good that's happening in our world. And you say, we long for you to come back, to be a part of this fellowship. Up at camp, there was no joy around the table, certainly not the kind of joy that we had had the day before or the day after. We needed Gus to be a part of the fellowship, or else our joy would not be anywhere near complete. Now, this is what the author of 1 John is talking about when he starts off his letter And he explains why he is sharing what he's sharing, why he's telling the people what he's telling them. He says, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There are several things in there, but right at the center is this idea that there's this fellowship that we're called into. I mean, that's what Jesus came here for in the first place, was so that everybody could enter into the joyful fellowship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have enjoyed for eternity, and that we were created to enjoy too. And yet, we've wandered off. We've gone our own ways, and that fellowship that God deeply desires for us to share in has been broken. But Jesus came here for this very reason, to invite us, welcome us back into that fellowship. And when we come into that fellowship, when we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins and for inviting me into that life-giving fellowship, that joyful fellowship, it's not enough for us just to come in and say, well, that's good. Here we are. We need to share the joy that we've experienced in Christ with others. In fact, as we read here, our joy will never be complete until all those Jesus is calling, the Father is calling, home, come home. Here at Salem, we've been so blessed by the love of God, the joy that we share together with our children, with one another, with God the Father. Our worship is an incredible gift. It's great to be followers of Jesus, to be learning. We have wonderful Sunday school classes and small groups and Bible studies. And all that's terrific, but it's not enough if it's only for us. We desperately need to welcome others into this fellowship that God intends for all people. In Matthew chapter 9, we find this turning point for his first disciples, and it's a turning point that we need to come to ourselves. Leading up to today's gospel lesson, Jesus has done in chapters 8 and 9, just before this, three miracles, and then he's called people to follow him, to be his disciples, his learners. He's done three more miracles, and he called specifically Matthew, the tax collector, to come and follow him, be his disciple, learn from him. Then he does four more miracles, and he calls people to follow him. But in today's passage, we find this key turning point in the Gospel of Matthew, where he calls those who would be his disciples, those who would be his followers, not only to be learners, listeners, disciples, but to become apostles, those who are sent to welcome others into this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to listen in as this corner is turned in Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 35. I'll go through chapter 10, verse 5, just the beginning of it. After that, Jesus is going to give some instructions for the ones he's sending out. But notice how Matthew, the writer of the gospel, shifts from calling these people his Jesus' disciples to calling them his apostles. Disciples, learners, listeners, apostles, those who are sent. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Then Jesus summoned his disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. Thaddeus and James, son of Alphaeus. Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12, Jesus sent out. I'll stop there. These 12, Jesus sent out. Yes, come, follow me, be my disciples, and join me in this mission to share the joy of life in Christ with the world. Let the world know that the kingdom of God is breaking in and the Heavenly Father is welcoming all who would come to him to gather around his table, to join in the party that has no end. Periodically here at Salem, every year or so, we set what we call vision priorities for the coming year. We've got our basic mission that we talk about all the time of wanting to help people connect with God, with God's purpose in their lives, and with the church, with Christ's people on earth. We want people to connect. We also want them to grow in their understanding of God, to grow as followers of Jesus, to grow in maturity. And we want people to go, connect, grow, and go. That's the apostle part, to go out and serve Christ's purposes in the world, lead others into this fellowship. So we have this ministry or this mission statement that continues all the time, but periodically we pick a vision priority that we set our sights on. So like several years ago, we had discerned that God was calling us to focus attention on our children and family ministries. That became our vision priority. And so we began to invest prayer in that area. We set up a task force to look at what we were doing and what we could be doing. What were some of the best things happening out there that we could learn from and begin to do? We chose to invest energy and finances, honestly, in it. We brought on Pastor Alice Johnson, and we began, many of you, to join in volunteering to help out with things like Awana here. And so in the following years, we've seen our children and family ministry grow from about 30 children here on a Wednesday night to we're approaching 200 now. We've got our Sunday mornings, and you're seeing what's happening here. How blessed we've been, the family ministries that are going on. This is what happens when we listen to God's word, God's call, and we pursue it. We've seen this again and again. And our leadership team has discerned that the vision priority, we've got two of them, and next week I'll share the second one, but the first one, they both have to do with enlarging the circle, welcoming more people into the fellowship of God's love. But the first one that I'm talking about today is what Jesus is talking about with his disciples, turning this corner where we come to understand that it's not just about us, it's not just about ours, it's about everybody that God is calling to be welcomed into this wonderful fellowship of the people of God. We need here at Salem to turn this corner. We're disciples. We're learners. We love it. I'm so thrilled with that. And we're doing a decent job of reaching out to the community, our neighbors, our friends, our family. We've got to get a lot better at it. This is our vision priority. That Salem actually would grow. I know a lot of us, we like the size we're at, like we can know each other pretty well. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, I came here because I like the way it is. I don't really want us to change or to grow. Yep, I get that. And there are people out there who are desperately in need of hearing the good news of God's love and of joining in with the fellowship of God's love to be a part of this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need to be about this mission that God's given us. And I'm excited, honestly, about this year more than ever. Focusing our attention, focusing our prayers, focusing our energy and our work and even our finances on encouraging, leading others into the fellowship with God here at Salem Covenant Church. And so I want to ask you this morning to sign up for this. And what I'm asking you is not to suddenly turn yourself into an evangelist, suddenly find within yourself, like, I'm going to go out and start knocking on doors. Maybe God will lead you to do that. What I want to ask you to do this morning is what Jesus asked his disciples to do when he was beginning to help them turn that corner. Do you remember what it was? He asked them to pray. In 2 weeks, we're going to start a sermon series on BLESS, this program our denomination has on how we can, specifically, how we can better reach out to our friends and family members and neighbors to welcome them into the fellowship. We'll talk about that. We're going to get there. But today, what I want to ask you to do is to join me in praying. Even just for the next 2 weeks, each day, would you join me in praying? You could keep it going after that. That'd be great. But would you join me in praying? You see, as Jesus calls his disciples to pray, what we find is that, you know, he said, we talk about praying in Jesus' name. Well, right here, Jesus is telling us what he wants us. He doesn't do this very often in the Gospels. We hear him telling us, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. And he says this, ask the Father for laborers to be sent out into the harvest. We know Jesus wants us to pray this. So I'm asking you to pray this. As we do, what we're calling on is the very power of God. Jesus says in John 15, we can't do anything apart from him. We pray for God's power, like the power that came upon the apostles in Acts chapter 1 that empowered them to go out to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Pray for the power of God to send out people, to send out us. Pray for that power. But also what we find is when we begin praying about something, it starts changing our hearts. When we start praying for somebody, we start caring. That's why part of why Jesus calls us to pray for our enemies, by the way. It's because it humanizes our enemies. It makes them real people, not just that thing over there, that insect, that pest that we need to eradicate. When we start praying for somebody, we start caring for them. And here in this gospel, it's one of the few places where we learn about the heart of Jesus. It says he had compassion for them. That's what moved him, brought him out of heaven. And the word compassion in the Greek is not just our kind of bland English word, but this bowel movement. Yeah, you know, where the insides are churning because you care so deeply, because there's somebody out there wandering that needs to be brought home, that needs to be welcomed to the fellowship, and their joy and our joy will never be complete until they are. So I want to invite you to pray for the power of God to come on and for the passion of God, the compassion of God to begin to change our hearts. So three things I want to ask you to ask for, to pray for. The first one is simply to ask for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Would you join me over these, at least these next couple of weeks, and even please through the coming year, ask the Lord to send out laborers into the harvest? You might not be feeling right now like it can be you. You're like, oh, you know, that's not it. It's okay. Just ask God to send somebodies. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The second thing is, yeah, pray that God would begin to change your heart, to, in his own way, fill you with that compassion for those who aren't a part of the fellowship yet. We can't drum this up. I can't tell you, you should care. You know, you should have, we can't force ourselves. You can't do that, I can't. But you can pray for it. Would you pray for that? Pray for it for me. Pray for it for us, for one another. Pray for it for yourself, that God would change our hearts and give us compassion for those who are not right now enjoying the fellowship that we enjoy with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with one another. And then the third thing I'd ask you to ask God for is, where is the harvest, Lord? Would you show us where you want us to focus our attention. As this gospel lesson goes on, Jesus tells them, don't go to the Gentiles. We're going to do that later. Go to the house of Israel. Go to the people of Israel. The harvesters, you don't get to, when you're running a farm, go out to all the fields at once. You go somewhere, and then you move on as you're called, as the organization, as the leader tells you. Where is God calling you? Where is God calling us to focus our harvesting, to direct our attention as we seek to welcome people, encourage people, do whatever we can to help people join in this wonderful fellowship that God has blessed us with? There are a lot of great things happening in here at Salem, and it might be that God, as you pray about these things, will encourage you to join in with our Thrive ministry to families with members who have unique needs. You know, that's a growing area of ministry. Maybe it'll be to help out to do with our Awana program, or to care for children with our MOPS program. Maybe it'll be with the growing relationship we have with Global Academy down the road. I don't know. But would you join me in praying, God, where's the harvest that you want us to go out into? We want to be a part of this wonderful work. Will you join me in praying for this? If you will, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. God, I'm so thankful that I'm not sure that I found Gus so much as he found me, but I thank you, Lord, that you brought him home. And I thank you for the privilege of being a part of that. It was an incredible joy. Grant us the joy, Lord, here at Salem Covenant Church, more than ever this year, of being a part of the harvest that you have prepared. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.